Hey, everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
Do you have Texas margaritas?
We only have a tea and coffee here, ma'am.
What the fuck are you talking about? What's Texas?
What about absinthe? Absinthe is her next request.
I'm looking to trip balls in this cafe before I get on the airplane.
She thinks she's in the fucking Moulin Rouge or something.
You talk to the hand. Do you have absinthe? I want to get really fucked up before my poet ex-boyfriend comes. Hi, guys.
Hi. This was a fun episode. I mean, I don't know. My initial reaction was it wasn't as good. It's the penultimate episode is always the best. And so if we think this is the finale-ish, it's going to always be more boring. But you get weddings and shit, which are boring. But were you surprised? I thought Debbie was maybe going to get back with Osama. She claims she's never going to talk to him again. Do you believe her?
No, but I also wasn't surprised that she didn't get back with him. She has some sense of self-worth, you know?
That's good.
And also, Osama wasn't convincing at all.
No.
In that meeting, he totally said, this was your mistake.
Yeah,
this was not the plan. Fuck off.
This guy is not very good at like figuring out how to get what he wants.
I love that he just straight up admits that the only things he knows about women come from his sister trying to help him not be an incel.
His sister said, yeah, he's even mean to people he loves, even me.
He's a fucking asshole to everyone, man. I try my best, you know?
Yeah. Does he even have any friends? We haven't seen any friends or any other ancillary characters.
His friend is the goat, and that's why he was so upset, or the donkey, and that's why he was so mad at Debbie. That's the hidden subtext here that we're all missing.
That's fair.
I will only speak in Debbie-isms the rest of this episode.
Please continue.
No, go on.
Oh, do you think that Jen and Rishi will get back together?
This was not the plan.
I think they're going to talk a lot and they're going to go back and forth and back and forth.
You don't know squat. Yeah, I think that they're still talking to this day. They're defending each other.
I mean, I was so hopeful because I thought this is the right decision. Finally, somebody on the show is making the right decision. And the correct decision is to break up because this is, even though you love each other, this is just never going to work out.
I think 90% of the time on this show, the correct decision is to break up.
Yeah, that's true.
Far and away.
It's like literally except for one couple on this season was the correct decision.
And usually it's extremely clear from the first episode that you should break up or that this was a terrible idea in the first place.
How much longer do you think they're going to drag Danielle and Johan out?
Until someone sticks a finger in a light socket.
Jesus.
I think they have to be done, right? How many times are you both going to admit to each other that you are never going to change and yet you want the other person to completely change their personality or their core belief structure?
Yeah.
How is that supposed to work, man?
The thing is, like, the more I like, obviously, Danielle is number one dislike, but Johan is not very likable either.
No. But I think
it's hard to focus on him when you have Danielle in your face being very unlikable.
I think that, so I agree with you. I do feel like Danielle would be irritating in any relationship. Whereas I feel like Johan, with someone from more his culture and values, wouldn't be that objectionable.
Yeah, that might be correct.
But Danielle would be terrible anywhere.
Yeah. Can you imagine Johan with like Tania?
They would be fucking so often that words really wouldn't even be exchanged.
It might work.
Look, she dated Sinjin, okay? Like her standards are not that high.
It's true. Yikes. Well, A lot of filler scenes, I would say, this week, but generally a lot of also good information. And we get to see Jamie and Chris implode.
On paper, almost all of the Debbie scenes this episode, except for the meeting at the cafe, were filler, but I didn't mind it.
No, because
she's talking, she's talking about eating crow, sticking fingers in lots of sockets, and I don't know what that accent was, but
she oscillates between Scottish and
sometimes she's Scottish, else. Sometimes she's John Walters, and you know, it's fine. Talk to the hand.
Bad. I mean, this woman is almost 70.
Yeah.
Debbie's a treasure. I thought she, I don't care if it's fake. This, she was fucking hilarious this whole season. I thought it was funny. Also, where is this hotel? Did she like, oh, that was last episode, but I'm so impressed that she just found this super nice hotel like by the ocean or something in the middle of the night and just decides to bed down there for a week to chill.
I think she relies upon the kindness of production.
That's true. She probably does. They're not supposed to intervene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they feel bad for this old, dumb lady.
Can you imagine if Jenny got in a bind and production was like, sorry, can't help you.
They'd be filming that shit. They would love it.
Like they did with Corey when he was like carrying a television on a chicken bus.
Oh, Corey has no, yeah, he's not going to get 1 ounce of intervention and no. He shouldn't.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So, Kyle, who do you want to start with? Jen and Rishi?
Yeah, let's go in order. Going
big guns? Wow.
I enjoyed that Jen and her posse are still all stoked on how the fake intervention went.
They are, but Jen knows something must be wrong because Rishi wants to talk in person.
Yeah. He hasn't said anything except we need to talk.
That's like when your boss like catches you on Slack and they're like, hey, and you have something important to tell you. And
you're
like,
getting laid off.
Just tell me. And they're like, nah, let's have a call. You're like, uh-oh.
I don't want what I'm about to say to you to be in writing.
So,
So I feel like I understood both of them.
Me too.
In all these scenes. I don't think that Jen was completely nuts. I thought that look, at the end of the day, she did the right thing.
She did.
And I appreciated that it seems like she's finally acknowledging that Rishi doesn't have full control of the situation.
But
from her perspective, I also understand that she's frustrated by that because it's taken this long for him to really get to that place too.
Mm-hmm.
Like he should have known how little control he had from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think is her kind of frustration with him.
Yeah. I think that like my main beef with Rishi is that Rishi really did kind of lie to Jen about the family situation. Like he told her, and he admits this, he told her it would be fine. They wouldn't have to do a joint family situation. But at the end of the day, he knew he would pick his family over her. And so like, why did he tell her that? It just, I don't know if he was just like desperate, but I mean, this has been going on for 3 years. You didn't think there was any point in time where you should tell her, it's probably going to be a sticking point about your age with my family. And oh yeah, also like he told her, like even hedging at the very end of this finishing scene, oh, we can we can live somewhere near my family. And what, you're going to split your time? Like, I didn't even understand what he was trying to say.
He was grasping at straws.
It looked really bad.
Yeah. I agree with you. He made it seem like this was solvable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he knows it's not.
He does. And in his ITM, he said as such.
Yeah. And even if it's salvageable short term, that's not the life that Jen wants. And it's been pretty clear. He basically says, she pressed me for a show of commitment, and so I gave her one.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially admitting that he was full of shit and at least skirted the truth to her face, if not outright lied, right?
Basically, but that's what I got out of it.
But it's very clear that I think that he loves her. He didn't want to lose her. And so, like, look, it's bad that he's essentially lying to her. But he felt like he needed to do whatever he could to keep her,
mm-hmm.
which sucks because Jen's not 20. He did waste a lot of her time.
He wasted 3 years of her time.
So it's tough because on a lot of these storylines, it's just clear, straight up scamming.
That's true.
Or the person is inherently a bad human being. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that about Rishi.
I don't think he's bad. And I think they have genuine affection and love between them. I don't really know where that stems from because we never really saw them banged. Well, not even that. It's just, I feel like we didn't see a lot of real conversation between them. Like, we saw a conversation about if they should be together or when they're going to tell his parents.
It was Jen trying to force him onto the field.
Exactly.
To have conversations, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know. I just, is Rishi, I really hope that they stick with the breakup because I think what could be the worst for these people is if they go back and forth, you know?
They try to rekindle, they try long distance, and she retains hope and closes herself off to other experiences.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Go fucking marry Bindia. Get out of here, bro.
Jen gets so mad, though, when Rishi brings up that his family. So this is the kind of the way that it goes down. Like, the day after the intervention, these girls are, like, dressed up again, drinking street chai. Oh, Rishi's family was so gracious. And, you know, Jen is concerned about the we need to talk in person. And they go to the market. Rishi comes over to talk. And she's already kind of discussed with her friends about the joint family thing. She knows that's the sticking point. And the friends are like, well, the house is really nice. His family's really lovely. But, like, you could not.
It's not you.
This is not you. And
it's not almost any American person.
Yeah, really. That's a very cultural thing. I mean, would you do that?
With my in-laws? Jesus. I don't know. I mean, I seriously.
I meant it as a joke, but.
I mean, like, fuck, dude. The only person maybe I could do that with is my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I love my mom, but she's very particular and it's just a different world with her.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jen. I was glad to see that Jen understood that she could not live in a joint family situation, they call it. And so when Rishi comes over.
Because this is what a joint family means. That doesn't mean that you live with each other in the Western thinking where you're all like a family unit that all contributes. No, a joint family to Rishi's mom is you're fucking cooking and cleaning all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're like my fucking servant in a way. I mean, that's what we've seen.
Yeah.
And it essentially means mom retires.
Yeah. Mom is calling the shots.
Yeah.
Is the way I see it. Right. So, Jen puts it out there to Rishi, like, hey, it doesn't seem like you're going to leave your family. She addresses it head on, which I appreciated. And he admits it. He wants a joint family situation. Why did he knew this all along? Do you think he just got bored in COVID and was like, there's no reason to break up with her now. It's COVID times.
I'm not completely sure he always knew this is what he wanted.
Mm.
I think there was a constriction of his actual choices, and I think he saw that as the only possible path left. Like, do you think that if Jen approached mom and said, listen, I'll give you everything you want. I obviously can't go back in time and get younger though.
Mm-hmm.
Will you accept me if I'm a joint family and I'm like, you can be my boss forever and I'll do whatever you want? Will that work?
Mm-hmm.
I still think she would say no.
I agree. I think she would also
Rishi,
say no.
Like I said, I think he's grasping at straws a little bit, and he sees that as the only possible path forward, if there is a path at all.
Yeah. I also think that Jen could have used different words than that feels like a prison.
Your culture is a prison.
Ooh. She softened it up with, I need my personal space. I was like, that's better.
Thank you.
That's better. Yeah. This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need for yourself. A lot of us have kids that are super demanding on our time, or family members that may demand a lot from us. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. My experience with therapy has been that when I know I have slotted time to talk through my stuff, my issues, my worries, my frustrations, I'm better able to take care of the people in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find more balance in your life with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/CrayCray today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/CrayCray. And thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. I've been using Prose products for a while now, and you've probably heard me talk about it on the podcast before. Switching to a custom routine from Prose was one of the best things I've done for my hair, and the results I'm seeing just keep getting better. We all have different hair concerns. Mine, for example, it's quite dull, it's dry, I want it always to be shinier, or I did. I live in a dry climate, so finding the right moisture level in a shampoo and conditioner can be hard with drugstore brands. Prose has a one-of-a-kind made-to-order hair care, and it's about more than just your hair type. My shampoo and conditioner from Prose have herbal scents that I prefer. I actually don't like anything floral. And it's also focused on my main hair concerns, which is moisture and smoothness and shininess. Prose has given over 1 million consultations with their in-depth hair quiz, which is how I got started. I mean, look, we all have a hair quiz, right? And this quiz is very fun. It asks a lot of questions about your hair, your unique circumstances. Like for me, I live in a dry climate and I had dull hair. By analyzing over 85 personal factors, Prose determines a unique blend of ingredients to treat your exact concerns. My favorite feature is Prose's review and refine tool, which lets me tweak my formulas for any reason, in case I change my address, my hair color, or even my diet. This makes it really easy to make changes when you decide to go vegan for that month after New Year, or if you decide to try balayage. As a carbon-neutral certified B Corp, Prose is an industry leader in clean and responsible beauty. All of their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty-free. They're also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. If you're not 100% positive that Prose is the best hair care you've ever had, they will take the products back, no questions asked. Custom made-to-order hair care from Prose has your name all over it. Try your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to prose.com/craycray. That's prose.com/craycray for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off your first order with Prose. Do you want to talk Gabe and Isabel?
Gabe is so annoying this episode.
I agree. I was so irritated with him.
Come on, bro.
Like, look, I know that you're upset that your sister is sucking really bad, but Isabel planned this entire wedding. All you had to do was show up. And then you promised her you'd show up a few hours early because she's got a lot to do. This woman hasn't even like showered or gotten ready and she's a freaking bride. And it's like 90 minutes until the wedding and he's still like face down on the bed pouting.
She doesn't even have her makeup on. Nothing. No,
she should be relaxing. Yeah. It's her wedding day. She can't even relax.
She should be four mimosas in.
Who are all these other people getting their hair done, though? I was like, bitches, get up and help her with the stuff and sit the bride down and get her hair done. That also annoyed me.
Send a bridesmaid to go beat Gabe until he's in the car.
I didn't understand Gabe's incapacitation. And like, how do you literally lay on that bed for an hour and a half?
It could be total time.
It could be like 60 seconds, yeah. Couldn't it?
I can't identify with a relationship with a sibling that would cause me this much emotional distress. You know what I mean?
Because you would have written them off.
Exactly. If someone did that to me on my wedding day, I could emotionally just cut that person out immediately. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that says about me.
No, I think that's healthy.
Okay.
You have to set boundaries because this is insane. Like, this is just not good behavior.
All my tinfoil was way better than what the actual reason was. The actual reason is that she's just kind of butthurt that Gabe...
No, this is a situation.
This
is a situation. Gabe was out with his sister and her boyfriend. This is the night before his wedding.
Sure.
They're boo-hurt that Isabel had shit to do the night before her fucking wedding. And so they're like, well, where is she? When is she coming? We're here. Aren't we the stars? Shouldn't she be worrying about us? And then by the time it's like 11 p.m. and Isabel's finally done with all the stuff she has to do, this angel of a person is like, okay, I'll come now. I'll come now to meet you. And they're like, we're tired. We're going home. And Gabe was like, dude, Isabel just left to come meet us. Can you just wait for an hour? And they got pissed off and said, well, Gabe, are you scared to talk to your partner? Yeah. And they like left and went back to the hotel. And Gabe was pissed about it, rightfully so. Isabel did nothing wrong. And then she shows up and they're not even there. I would be pissed.
She didn't even have the opportunity to do anything wrong.
I would be so mad if I made such a big effort to go out at like midnight the night before my wedding. Are you kidding me? I would be pissed. It's a stupid reason for them to be mad in the first place. And then she sends Gabe a text message that says, I'm not coming to your wedding because I'm mad. I didn't understand that either. Why isn't she coming?
It simply sounds like he called her out for her behavior. And she has no emotional capacity to deal with being questioned at all, at least from him.
Oh, Gabe did tell her that she's the one always causing problems in his relationships.
Yeah.
Which sounds true.
Right.
And she got mad and said he was rude and selfish.
And at first, Gabe seems to take this relatively well. He says, if she doesn't want to come, then she'll have to live with that.
Yeah. Which is the right response.
I think so. I think that's the right way to think about it.
Uh-huh.
If she can't realize how fucked up that is, then you can't just, I don't know. Like, again, I'm not that close with my family, except my immediate family. I just don't identify with this. Keep toxic people in your life because you share some DNA.
Yeah. If one of my siblings was like this, which they aren't, I would just be like, I would kind of ignore them.
Or at least not let them affect you in this way, particularly on your fucking wedding day. It's not fair to your wife.
Absolutely. Isabel is losing her mind. I mean, she's there. She's got all this stuff to do. He promised he would be there to help her. He's not. She's not even ready. Like, she'll never get this moment back. Right. Like, this is your wedding day. You're supposed to be relaxed, enjoying. You're supposed to have a mimosa in your hand. And she's just stressed out running around. And I want to know, like, where are her parents? Where is her family? Like, where are all these people that can help her?
Her mom is sewing dresses.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Her mom, there were people like getting the Flower Girl stuff ready and everything. But I don't know. I just remember chilling like for those hours before my wedding, you know?
I got dressed and started drinking beers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like people should be doing stuff for you. I'm really annoyed that Isabel's all stressed out.
me too. It's dumb.
I feel so bad for her.
Especially because she planned this entire thing herself while Gabe was getting documents together.
It's bananas.
And then that last scene of Gabe face down in bed crying, I was like so irritated with him.
This could be edit frauding. We know this, but the way it was edited was really brilliant to create a reaction.
It really made it seem like he was just sobbing for an hour and a half in bed.
It did. And yeah. It's great editing. I mean, kudos, because I was mad.
They have to resolve this.
Yes, absolutely.
They can't just skip to the tell-all.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah.
If it's a three-part, let's do some quick cray-cray calendar math.
You hate it when I do this.
I know, but I'm kind of drunk. So seven, four, if there is one more episode and we have a two-part tell-all, then that tracks. But if there's a three-part tell-all, then it doesn't.
I have a feeling it's going to be something along the lines of like, a half hour of new footage and then the beginning of the tell-all. Yeah, something like that. So that's my main. Or like, is there a universe where we get Memorial Day weekend off?
Discovery Plus. You guys should follow Love is Blind and do a live tell-all. Let's just
please
really
don't do that.
Let's just really embrace the shit show. Fuck Barbara. Let's do this. Let's put Sean Robinson really in the hot seat.
Right. Anything else on these two?
No.
You want to talk about Osama and Debbie?
Uh-huh.
My dog smells. Kyle's suffering. So Osama and Debbie, again, this is a big nothing burger, but it was still entertaining because Debbie's involved.
Right. If Debbie wasn't Debbie, this would be boring filler content.
Like literally nothing happened. We get a whole scene of Osama in a cafe with his sister, basically like making shit up. Debbie packing her suitcases.
Just completely half-ass explaining how much of a piece of shit he was to his sister. But what's funny is it seems like Osama, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. I think it is. She's like, yeah, he can be a dick.
He can be a real asshole, even to people he loves, like me. Is this Chemisette, though? Are they in a cafe in Chemisette? Or do they drive these people to Rabat to film this?
I assume they're in Chemisette.
It looks really nice. I thought he said it was some, like, sleepy goat town or something. It looks really charming.
I love that she's like, yeah, I try to help him to understand women. And that's kind of all he's got.
Yeah.
This is his sister doing the Lord's work.
I lost it and I got mad. She kept pressuring me and stressing me out, says Osama of Debbie.
He keeps saying, I was there to paint. He's still going on about that. I was there to paint and she just wanted to talk. You want to talk, talk, talk. I'm here to paint and ride and look at donkey. Fuck off.
Sister's like, yeah, you shouldn't have said those things.
Maybe tell her you love her, you know? See how that works.
The sister is panicking because she's like, fuck, this means he's not going to the United States.
No, he ain't going there.
We have to live with this guy forever.
Now we're still stuck with this motherfucker.
Also, don't they
I have to listen to fucking moon poetry.
Don't these two live with their parents? Why are they meeting at a cafe?
Filming reason. Parents were done with this shit.
Parents were like, we want
we're
no more
so
of this.
Over this.
I'm keeping the paints, though, says Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his ITM, I was trying to paint. I know I said some mean things. But, you know, when I'm angry, it's only when I'm angry I say mean things.
Sometimes I become a raging asshole. You know, you just shouldn't listen to me when I'm like that. I'll get over it.
It's just when I'm angry. No other times.
That'd be great.
But I'm angry a lot.
What if you were like interviewing for a job? And you're like, listen, I'm really chill. Sometimes I go into a raging mania state. You just have to ignore that. I'll be okay soon.
It's just momentarily while I'm angry, yeah. And then everything's fine.
I'm in a piece of fucking garbage for only a couple minutes a day.
Yeah. Oh, and I definitely love Debbie because of our connection to poetry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Connected and stuff.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell her, and maybe she'll like that. Probably not.
I did think we did get some insight into Osama's financial state. He says
there is none.
Yeah, he says to Asma, like, well, Debbie wants to live in Rabat and I don't have the financial means to do that.
Right. You can't afford an apartment in Rabat.
Yeah. And he's clearly been telling his family, because Asma says you had your plan from day one that you wanted to go to the United States. This is what he's been pitching to his family the whole time. I think he just forgot to tell Debbie. It's a key piece of the plan. But yeah. You know,
seems important.
And she says, I know you didn't want to live in Morocco together. And he kind of admits that to the sister. But, you know, he's harsh with people he loves sometimes.
Debbie decides to meet him because reasons.
Thank you. I'm so glad she got in a taxi.
Thank you, production.
We got a good look at her fluffy white outfit and hat.
You have a Texas margarita. What the fuck are you talking about?
Why would you order a Texas margarita? Like, what is a Texas margarita?
I have never ordered this beverage.
Is it just a larger version of an actual it's margarita?
The same exact thing, but twice as big.
Yeah, I think so.
And it comes with a pistol.
The waitress is like, whatever that is, we don't have it. Or absinthe, which is her second go-to.
A Texas margarita just has orange juice, so it's not that entertaining.
Oh, well, it's a desert for margaritas here in Chemisett. They just have tea and coffee, Kyle. They're literally, can you imagine going to Starbucks and being like, I'll have a Texas margarita? Like, that is what's happening here.
It's more like going to Catholic mass and ordering a cocktail to, I don't know, there's something that just,
yeah,
it's great.
He loves Debbie's poetry, smart, blah, blah, blah. At any moment, you can lose everything.
I don't hate you. I just feel despised. Whoa.
She has so many good one-liners. Yeah, Osama was under the impression that Debbie was just coming to Morocco to get documents.
Where the
what documents?
Fuck has that ever come up? At all.
Does that mean they were going there to get married? So they had like the marriage documents?
A marriage visa?
Debbie has never mentioned applying for a visa.
No, not once.
Not even like Nicole. Oh, Nicole and what's his nuts weren't on this week.
Okay, so no resolution there either.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, Debbie never mentioned that she was going to apply for a visa, had applied for a visa. He's like, no, you said we were going to go like visit your kids. She's like, yeah, we can go to the States and like visit my kids. But
Nicole is still lurking in the cafe to this day.
She's just there playing chess or was it dominoes? I can't remember.
Yeah, dominoes.
A lot of dominoes B-roll in Egypt. So yeah. He really digs himself a hole here because he tries to say he doesn't want her for the visa, but then he makes everything about the visa. And in his ITM, he says he loves her less because she doesn't believe that his love is unconditional.
You never believe in my love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he tries to make this her fault, which is just wild to watch. See, that was your mistake. This was not the plan.
This is not the
plan. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what the plan was.
Yeah.
You told your family what the plan was in front of Debbie.
You literally wrote out your plan and then showed it to the entire viewership of 90 Day Fiancé, pretty much. You told us all it is not up for debate anymore. But Kyle, he is not used to all this stress.
Conditional love is not real love, Kim.
Mm.
If you wouldn't kill a guy and dump him in a ditch and then give the body an acid bath, that's not love.
I just, you know.
Kim's just moving on from that.
I don't know what to say. Very uncomfortable about ditches and bodies. So what stress do you think Osama has in his life? Let's speculate.
Not having a visa.
That's literally it. This guy goes up to the hill and paints, writes some poetry and puts it online, and then like basically just dongs around and has people, I'm assuming his mother cooks for him.
He must be on the internet all the time.
Ugh, yeah.
All the time.
That's not good. I mean, unless he's just reading poetry and shit, which that's harmless.
So maybe. then we get all this fighting makes me love her less. And then you don't know Squaw. Talk to the hand.
I love it when she gets in. She's like packing up to go home and like talking a big game about how she's angry at herself for Osama because she let it go this far. And she can't even get her suitcases closed. She literally piles up these suitcases. One of them is open, Kyle.
You have to buy stuff in Morocco. You have to take an empty suitcase just to buy textiles and shit.
She had four suitcases.
Yeah.
In her tiger purse.
But if you believe her, she thought she was moving there.
That's true.
I'm not offended by that if you're moving permanently.
That's fair. Yeah. And then the airport taxi driver comes and is like, just asks a harmless question of like, how's it going? She's like, well, I guess I'll survive.
I'm here to eat crow. What? Why would you eat a crow? It's fucking gross.
It's just a pleasantry. I didn't really want a real answer.
I think that she does have a good attitude about this.
She does.
Because she says that in order to trust people, she realizes that that's about working on herself. And she doesn't cast this net of like, well, it's men. It's fucking men. It can't be trusted. Which is fair, but it's more about working on herself and thinking about why was I so fucking stupid?
Yeah. I like that self-reflection. I hope she really, really does internalize that because I really don't want Debbie to be fooled by some other 28-year-old or 6-year-old poet. Do you think she really learned though? We've never seen anybody really learn from their mistakes on the show, Kyle. So
this is like Seinfeld. This nobody learns on 90 Day.
It's true. But, you know, she says she needs to be less trusting, smarter.
Listen to Julian about relationships, at least.
Yeah.
Osama's going to get eviscerated at the tell-all.
It's going to be so bad. I can't believe he'd even show up.
I think he's gonna be a hang upper.
He will. He'll be a walk away.
He's gonna get ganged up on by all these women.
Yeah.
And we can't have that.
This is the problem with having like the remote tell alls. Is like they can just hang up and then
or storm off.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
Mahmoud's
people can storm off the stage, but they're still in the general vicinity. You know, they can't
Mahmoud's
move that
gonna
fast.
Storm off.
Wow, absolutely.
I wonder, there's so many shitty men this season. I wonder if Danielle's gonna come off like really well because it's so easy to dunk on these dudes.
Well, and Chris, we shouldn't just see men. Chris too.
Oh, for sure.
Partners, but yeah, it's true. I wish they were all in person. It's easier to put them on the spot.
Yeah.
And get a reaction, but the world is open again, and that means I'm traveling a lot again. And I always get nauseous when I travel. If you have a tendency to get nauseous, you know you'll do whatever it takes to feel normal again. There is nothing worse than feeling like you might vomit all over a stranger on a plane, or in an Uber, or in a boat, especially when you're going somewhere that's supposed to be fun. Ginger doesn't do it for me, and I really hate taking pills that make me drowsy. If you have a tendency to get nauseous, you've got to check out Relief Band. Relief Band is the number one FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven to quickly relieve and effectively prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. Really wish I would have had one of these when I was pregnant. And now you can use your HSA or FSA dollars to get a relief band. So if you just got those accounts refilled, put that money to good use and fix your nausea problem for good. Whether you need everyday nausea relief or just an occasional cure from nausea, their patented technology makes feeling sick a thing of the past. Forget the days of nausea pills that make you groggy and exhausted. It's like the name says, Relief Band is legitimately a band you wear on your wrist to give you a relief from nausea, and you can change the intensity depending on how you are feeling to make it stronger or weaker. I can tell you firsthand that Relief Band actually works. I used Relief Band when I've had to fly post-COVID, and I was really surprised that I didn't feel nauseous at all. It also curbs my anxiety because I know I have something to help with my nausea and I'm not just going to puke unexpectedly. And it's actually really easy to use. You just put a little gel on your wrist and pop it on. It's so easy to travel with and it's really discreet. It just kind of looks like a fitness tracker. And I don't really drink, as you all know, but my husband borrowed my Relief Band when he had a few too many beers last weekend, and he said his hangover nausea was gone. He was very skeptical, and he was really surprised how quickly it worked. So if you want the band that actually works at relieving your nausea, check out Relief Band. Right now, we've got an exclusive offer for 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray listeners. If you go to reliefband.com, use promo code Cray Cray, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping. So head to R-E-L-I-E-F-B-A-N-D, reliefband.com, and use our promo code Cray Cray for 20% off plus free shipping. This show is brought to you by Better Sleep. I don't have trouble falling asleep, but I do have trouble waking up in the middle of the night and getting back to sleep. When you've got a lot on your mind, it's hard to get the sleep that you need, but sleep is so important. With the Better Sleep app, you can personalize a sleep experience that calms your racing thoughts and boosts concentration. In fact, Business Insider says that Better Sleep is one of the most positively reviewed apps in the history of the Apple Store. I love Better Sleep because even though I live in a city, I love falling asleep to nature sounds. And with Better Sleep, I can personalize my own mix. There's so many sounds to choose from. Right now, my mix is like a campfire and something called Canadian Forest. I don't really know how that different from a regular forest, but the Canadian one is really good. And I even use some of the white noise sounds to focus at work during the day too. There's a lot of sleep meditations I really enjoy. There's binaural beats, and there's also one called Ocean Waves Sleep Hypnosis. I've used that one to fall back asleep when I wake up in the middle of the night. It works really well for me. Over 200 soothing sounds and a range of smart features to help you sleep faster, deeper, and for longer. And you can explore audio tracks from categories such as ASMR, brainwaves, meditation, stories, and more. This app has 55 million downloads and counting and is one of the most positively reviewed apps in the App Store ever. When you sleep better, you feel better. Improve your quality of life in as little as 1 week. Download Better Sleep from your App Store or Google Play. That's Better Sleep on the App Store or Google Play. Do you want to talk about Chris and Jamie?
Chris is back in Colombia after 5 months now. She was supposed to go back a month ago, but kind of hand waves about family issues. We learn later it had something to do with her son.
That's what she says.
Okay.
Man,
we were talking about this before we started recording. I'm thinking the whole time, okay, if your life is so dramatic that you go back for a fucking motorcycle and you go back because you're broke and you go back because of your kid and you go back because of your medication.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you shouldn't move out of the country. Like, sorry, you cannot untether yourself from Alabama. You just clearly cannot. You have not set up your life in a way that it will not completely collapse if you are not physically present. You should not be married to fucking Jamie. She's a trophy wife in another country that you can just discard.
She literally has 15 different excuses.
Yeah.
As to what, like, I thought it was like medication and what was the other thing that she said originally?
There was money. I have to make money and then
no,
I
have to go money to court when she got home.
Because of my motorcycle.
The motorcycle thing. That was never mentioned again. She was like, I need my meds and I need the motorcycle thing. Then when she got home, it was that she didn't have any money. It was like, what, did all your money disappear in the last 2 days?
9 days.
Yeah.
All your money's gone.
And then it was her son needed something. And Jamie even says, she's like, well, yeah, I understand you're a mom and like your kids come first. That's fine.
Your son's a grown ass man.
Also, yeah.
Like, I get that you don't have money and so it's hard, but what makes no sense, man?
It just, she clearly is not in any sort of state to be able to move anywhere outside of her hometown.
I wonder if her son is watching this and it's like, what the fuck?
He's like, I didn't need her.
I didn't, what?
I told her to go back.
This could have been an email, okay?
So I don't know. I'm just so confused.
They get fursuits on.
She didn't go get her at the airport, Jamie didn't go get Chris at the airport, I was like, oh, okay. She's not going to pick her up at the airport. Like, what's this reunion going to be like? But I was upset with Jamie that Jamie was like excited and eager for Chris to get back and then got her a present, had a welcome home sign. I didn't like any of that, Kyle. I didn't like any of it.
The welcome home sign was kind of cute, but given the context of how shitty Chris is, yeah, it's like, Jamie, do you really have hope? Do you really?
Yeah.
Come on. This is her coming back to break up with you and get her dad's ashes back.
The ashes thing is weird.
Yeah.
Don't give that to somebody that you might
it's
never see
fine
again.
I'm not judging her for having it at
no,
all.
No, not that.
Why would you give it to someone and then try to shame them?
For selling it.
Well, she never fucking even threatened that. It was
no.
Anyway, super strange. Jamie says that she was alone and she has all these doubts. And Chris lies and says that she hated being gone.
Then Jamie tells us too, though, that she confirms, and she's been pretty consistent with this information, which is why I believe Jamie, that Chris always told her she would pay the bills, and she paid 1 month, you know, the month that, and then she paid one additional month, and then for 3 months didn't pay rent. How is Jamie paying the rent?
I have no idea.
And Chris tries to a rebuttal of, well, you picked a place that was $150 more.
$150 is the issue. Then pay her the rent minus $150.
Exactly.
If you're that butthurt about the $100, like if you need to be petty about $150, fine.
Chris is a terrible person. She's just mean and petty. But let's make TikTok videos in our furry onesies.
And then not even bang in your fursuits.
I don't believe that.
Come on.
I don't believe that they didn't bang. I don't believe it. Do you believe it?
Chris says it feels like she's kissing a stranger. Yeah, and that's hot. Fuck. Fuck in your unicorn suit.
Oh my God. I spent 40 years looking for this love. I'm not going to lose Jamie. You sure tried pretty hard. I don't know how you come back and like say that kind of stuff when you're on camera saying horrible things about your wife, that she's a gold digger. You had
a
whole conversation with your mom that she's a gold digger, a scammer.
And you're a sugar mama.
Yeah. And that you don't understand why she can't work.
And lying that she's going to sell your dad's ashes necklace.
Ugh. It's just like, how do you accept that person into your home?
Right.
I mean, I know they probably held money over their heads. Like, you've got to record and kind of wrap this up, which I get. But I don't know that I could stand to be in the same room with this person under the circumstances. Who do you like the least?
Danielle.
Okay. You knew where I was
going. Yeah. There's only so many choices.
There's only so many. So what do you think about Danielle's episode, your fave?
I can have a civil conversation at the beach.
The beach looked fucking awesome, I have to say.
It's been 2 seasons of Danielle, and we're finally at the fucking beach.
That's true.
The last time we saw them at the beach was when they got married, And then they jump in the ocean.
That's right.
It was a whole ass season ago.
That water looked incredible.
When they're inland, this just doesn't go well.
Yeah.
There's flies on meat. And you know.
Not a word about the butcher shop since the computadora solve problems.
Let me show you Excel.
Nothing. So
he's playing basketball with Taylin.
This is like he says, the way that they filmed this, I was like, what is this, like a basketball movie?
They're trying to recreate like a Top Gun volleyball scene or something.
Exactly. It was like the Top Gun volleyball scene. Yes.
But of course Taylin smokes him because he's a fucking like amateur basketball player.
Taylin totally smokes him, and it doesn't even Taylin was really nice about it. He's like, he almost got me, but I feel he doesn't know the rules. So, I mean, maybe Johan's never played basketball. Like, what do we know? I don't know if it's popular there or what.
Johan says, sorry, I talked about your dick, bro. And then he asks, was Daniel just dog shit when you were together?
It was like a 3 minute long basketball montage.
It was long. Like, it was really long.
Taylin's good at basketball, but like Johan is not good at basketball. Like, just made it really funny.
We get it, Taylin.
Yeah.
You're good at basketball.
There was one time though when Johan just was close enough and he just literally like lifted his hand up and like placed the ball in the basket. He's tall.
This would be like if I just ran into a dude on the street and said, yo. Let's have a programming competition. But I've never programmed in my life. Yeah.
Oh, I just really enjoyed the basketball scene for some reason. Anyway, yeah. So sorry I asked you about your dick. I know it's big. Let's be honest. And yeah, Danielle, how about that? She's a real asshole,
She needs control, which is another way of saying she's an asshole.
Mm-hmm. And Taylin tries to soften it. He says, she's not submissive.
Which is fine. Like, she doesn't need to be. That's not the issue.
Yeah. You know, relationships involve sacrifices on both ends.
But look, Johan, I think he literally says that I think he said verbatim that her independence is disrespectful. you're not the hero of the story, man.
He also says, I'm already so tired.
So tired. I've been eating fly-ridden meat, and for some reason, I'm really tired. I've just been chugging Heinekens every day since I got married.
And then she won't let me drive.
God.
I feel like she's been there for like a week.
Right?
And he's so tired.
Maybe she's poisoning him with the love potions.
Like in sharp objects. Like
slowly, one drip a day.
I just don't, there's no way. I do want to know how long she's been there. I feel like it's only been a week or two and he's already so sick of her.
Taylin says, she's not changing.
Yeah. So. He's like, I know, I broke up with her because she was never going to change and got annoying.
So they finally are at the beach.
Finally.
And Danielle basically says that she won't be a horrible, selfish human being because she's in her... This is the whole reason that she's in DR, is to plant a banana tree and then sit on the beach and do nothing.
Yep.
And just essentially consume.
And bang until, Johan.
Just be a leech. Until she's fucking dead. And the only thing she's going to leave behind is unpaid parking tickets.
Jesus. So dark. Such a dark summary, Kyle. God.
That's what I really think of her, Kim.
Yeah. I just really bright, really shiny, bright, glowing review. Danielle, I mean, she's like, look, I could have other friends come like tomorrow. And if we're going to have this level of a fight every time... They both want an apology from the other.
I know. They think the other person's wrong and they're pristine.
They fundamentally do not understand each other.
Not one bit. Yeah.
He wants, what does he want? He wants respect. What does that mean? He wants her to.
R word, respect. failed relationship. Failed relationship.
Yeah. He wants her to apologize, I guess, for spending alone time with a guy she used to fuck.
Against his wishes.
Against his wishes. So I don't know. Do you think, like, what if she had another ex-boyfriend visit next week? He's going to feel the same way.
You know, I will give Johan a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and say I don't think he would feel as strongly about it because he does seem to admit to her that he prejudged Talen.
Yeah, he was like, Talen's actually no big deal. And he admits...
He's cool.
Yeah. But, he admits that he knows Talen doesn't want a relationship with her either, which was a big thing to admit.
So I actually believe that Johan sees a world where these friends don't have ulterior motives. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I think he's really upset because he said, don't do it. And she said, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. Go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's problems on both sides of that.
Yeah.
Clearly. And so that's what he wants an apology for. And she wants an apology because he doesn't trust her and the big cock thing was disrespectful.
What's your shoe size? Oh, yeah. And how many inches is your dick?
Yep.
They both say that they won't change.
Nope.
So this is not something we can fix.
And I thought that Danielle could have had a civil conversation at the beach, but then she just has a meltdown.
She does.
She just has like a tantrum.
She's like, I can't do this anymore. Enough, enough.
She's kind of the same thing as Chris, but she doesn't run away.
Yeah.
She tells him, shut up. I'm done. I'm not listening. No moss. I don't care. Call your mom. Call a priest.
Yeah. Neither one of these people are going to change. They're for sure going to break up, I guess. Or did she get a visa? Or they're married.
Yeah.
So does she have her, like, can she legally stay in the country?
They've never discussed this in their storyline at all.
She can't go back to the United States, right? She's got all those
I saw debts. Some tea. This could be a spoiler.
Spoiler.
People are saying they're seeing her in New York.
Really?
I'm blown away by for so many reasons.
Oh my God, there's no way.
Yeah.
But she has a butcher shop and she has a partnership of a butcher shop in DR.
She's in Excel.
She is a businesswoman like April on Love and Paradise.
She's making bank with Google Sheets.
Yeah, I don't see how these two make it. I don't know.
Then her parting line is, maybe I should have just been in DR by myself. Okay, well, maybe you shouldn't have married the first guy that banged you at the hotel after yoga.
Yeah.
You just, like, she thinks so fucking highly of herself, but she didn't get to know this guy at all. And yeah, Johan clearly sucks. But she's supposed to be this, like, enlightened person who's consulted the spirits. You know nothing about Johan, except that he has a big dong.
You know who this kind of reminds me of? And I like this person a lot more, so it's going to sound really shitty. Reminds me of Tanya. Like, She was all enlightened and, like, feminist and everything. And then, like, really, Sinjin is the person that you choose?
The most bro-y bro.
Yeah.
Sorry, bruh.
Bruh.
The most bruh.
Uh-huh. And just, like, generally.
And didn't have the self-awareness to know that it was a vacation bang.
Yeah.
Like, even if Sinjin was a good person, you never knew him outside of bang tripping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild to me, knowing what we know about Sinjin, that.
I guess that's 90% of the people on tow.
Yeah.
Before the 90, at least.
The self-proclaimed feminist, like, blah, 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 pick Sinjin or Johan, who clearly, like, have different ideas about that. So
there's a lot of toxic masculinity and misogyny in both of them. And if the rumors are true about Sinjin, he's far worse of the two.
Could be. Yeah. Kyle,
maybe that's the season. We don't know. There's still two wildly unresolved storylines.
We haven't seen the wedding.
And Nicole, we don't know if she's still in the cafe lurking.
I hope she is. Like, let's go through, like, which of these storylines do you think they're going to wrap up? Like, I feel like Debbie.
I don't even know how they have an entire other episode.
Well, Jen and Rishi, I feel like it's going to be half new scenes with the wedding and then half like tell all. But Jen and Rishi, the only thing they could really show is her leaving India, if that's what, or moving to Mumbai. They have
a very long airplane scene. Yeah. Sure. And there's probably an entire scene where she tells Randy and Myra about what happened.
That's true. That could happen. Yeah. It wouldn't be that interesting though.
And a packing scene. Chris and Jamie, you could have Jamie chasing after her and more fighting.
I hope Jamie doesn't chase after her. I hope Chris has less than 24 hours and like she's leaving. Done. And I hope Jamie kicks her out so she has to stay in a hotel.
There's got to be another episode.
Yeah. There has to be. Well, Gabe and Isabel have to get married. We haven't seen their wedding. And that's not a spoiler. I'm assuming they get married because if not, this is a really big failure, 100% failure of a season. Actually, I mean, not as a season, but just success of couples.
You could have Debbie landing and then Julian picks her up and she sobs about how she's eating crow.
Yeah, I guess that. Like, I don't necessarily need another scene with Julian, though. I do like Debbie. And then, yeah, we have Danielle and Johan, I guess. But that could be addressed in a tell-all.
Yeah.
So we have a few scenes, maybe. Nicole and Mahmoud.
Everyone that's watched Discovery.
That's kind of wrapped up too, honestly.
Everyone that watched Discovery Plus is like, yes, we've seen the fucking next time on. Yeah, stop talking.
I know.
About
we haven't
this.
We haven't seen it. So, I mean, maybe there wasn't one, though. I feel like all this could be addressed in a tell-all, too, though, except the wedding. Like, Danielle and Johan, which weddings are boring. So, honestly, I'm like, not that sad that whatever. Danielle and Johan, this is perfect fodder for a tell-all. What happened? They're going to tease it for 4 hours. And in the eighth hour of the tell-all, they're going to tell us they got divorced. Like, you know, don't you feel like that's how it's going to go down? They're going to drag it out.
Danielle came back to New York for the tell-all. No. She's there in person.
Yeah, you're right.
You gotta fucking just arrest her at the Port Authority.
Jesus.
I believe in debtor's prison for Danielle.
Was Gabe in person? I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Because everybody else, like all the other Americans, should be there in person because they all broke up.
You just have the screen. Yeah.
But Gabe, unless they fly him back, which I'm sure they would pay for him to fly back.
Yeah. And depending on how long they're married, would it be really that hard for Isabel to get a tourist visa if they're married?
I don't know. I don't think so. And I know they make it seem like a whole big trip, but Medellin to Miami is not that far.
Yeah.
That's like not that big of a flight. And the time zone is the same. I guess they'd be going to New York, so that is much further. I take it back. But anyway, still a great season. Have a little loose ends to tie up. I guess we'll see what happens next week.
We might be eating crow.
We'll see.
I'm going to go have more Texas margaritas.
Yeah. It's a desert for margaritas here in Chemisette.
Yes.
We'll see y'all next week.
Thanks, guys.